Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dr. Youngblood, and once again, you're tuned in to a broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. I pray that you look forward to this each day. I know I do. It's a blessing to come to you by way of radio. Invite you to join with us in the dialogue and discussion. In fact, if you've not heard me say before, let me say once again, this broadcast is designed with you, our listener, in mind. It's designed in such a way that you can call in, have dialogue and discussion. You can ask your questions. You can join in with the discussion, or you could counter the discussion. We're going to be, friendly about doing it. You may agree. We may disagree. That's all right. We're not going to be disagreeable in doing so, but we do want to look at the truth of the Word of God. And as we face issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. As we have said so many times on this broadcast, as we look at the Scripture, we understand Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." And so with any issue that we face on this broadcast, we're going to do so based on the authority of the Word of God. It's not based on philosophical rhetoric. It's not based on denominational rites and rituals and rules and regulations or some dogma. It's based on what does the Word of God say. And so whether it be in the realm of the home, of the family, the church, or in the realm of government, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's what's called a central biblicist worldview. And with a central biblicist worldview, every issue that we're faced with, and you have them each day, I have them each day, some call them problems or difficulties, they're issues. As we face the issues, we need to do so in the realization that God calls us to be salt and light in facing those issues and dealing with those issues in a central biblicist fashion. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about a subject today that I believe is vital in the era in which we live. We're looking at a subject today, the greatest need in America, or you could reverse it and say America's greatest need. And America's greatest need today is what was called back in the 1700s and 1800s a great awakening. We'd call it revival today. Ladies and gentlemen, our special guest today is Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is on the faculty and the staff with Conservative Theological University. We have the privilege of serving the Lord together, teaching the Word of God together. And Dr. Phelps knows the Word of God and has a passion for teaching preachers and others how to rightly divide the Word of truth. Dr. Phelps, welcome to the microphone today. Delighted to have you with us. Share a word or two for our people. Then we're going to get to the essence of what we want to talk about in our subject matter today, America's greatest need.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. In the Word of God, I've been looking at a chapter found in 2 Chronicles, where one of the best of the kings, called King Asa, was encouraged to do what was right. The man of God came to speak to him after he had a victory over one of their enemies in a great battle where they won, and God helped him. And he spoke to Asa to encourage him to be a faithful man of God in a place where God had entrusted him as king and to serve God faithfully.
Well, that kind of sets the pace. It is a matter of hearing God and pleasing God. But Dr. Phelps, one of the things that perhaps you've heard me say before, and I know in a different fashion our listeners have heard it. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, in our listening audience, you can join in the dialogue and discussion simply by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Get you right through to the radio studio right to the microphone so that we can have discussion together. But ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a post-Christian, post-truth society today. We're witnessing what I call the demise of all that's moral and all ethics and all values of spirituality. Our nation may win the battle militarily. We may win the battle financially. We as a nation may win the battle societally. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. If we lose the battle spiritually, we have lost our nation. We've lost our nation. What are some of the evidences? Dr. Phelps, I like to look at the evidences, what I call, what are the indicators that there's a need for spiritual awakening? What are the evidences that there's a need for revival today? And I've just outlined a couple of them that I'd like for us to think about, and then that sets the pace for where we're going in our dialogue and discussion today. And what I have found is, ladies and gentlemen, it's evidence of a revival needed. It's evidence there's a need of great awakening in America today, when our mainline denominations, for the most part, have simply opened the doors, Pandora's box, and they're embracing the sodomite lifestyle. Another evidence is situational ethics are the norm in most Christians today and with most churches today. When we look at the fact, Dr. Phelps, that only 4% of the millennials have a biblical worldview, when we look at the fact that 57% of the so-called Christians in America today really disagree with the reality of hell, disagree with the reality of a personage called the devil, when we find that the social gospel is preached, the Bible has been abandoned, that social justice seems to be the theme of the day. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you hear that term, social justice, you hear that from many politicians today, especially some of the airheads, as I call them, that are running on a socialist, Marxist, Leninist, Communist Party, Democrat ticket. When you hear them talk about social justice, it should cause your antenna to go up. Social justice is a term that's originated by the Marxist socialist communist in America, and that has bled over into the churches today. There's a mindset that social justice, and I don't have time to go into that. We'll talk about that one day as an issue, dealing with what is social justice, but it's contrary to and antithetical to what the Bible says ought to be the mission of the church. Literally, Dr. Phelps, apostasy has become the norm, the falling away, the leaving the church, the leaving of the faith. Literally, what we've done in America today, we have lost the Bible. We have abandoned the Word of God. And it is fascinating, and we'll look at the text later, but it's fascinating to see how back in the days of 2 Kings chapter 22 and chapter 23, the boy king, as I called it, the young man, 8 years old, was elevated to the throne as king, King Josiah. And King Josiah, when they were remodeling the temple was in disarray, disheveled, and had not been used properly. When they started remodeling the temple, they discovered, they found, Dr. Phelps, the Bible. Found the Bible in the church, if you will. It was lost in the church. And may I say, with a great emphasis today, the Bible's been lost in the church. Multitudes of preachers, Dr. Phelps, might read a verse or two, but never preach the Bible. So with what's been said, with the preliminary in my portion of my monologue, Dr. Phelps, what do you think is the answer? Where should we go? As Francis Schaeffer used to say, how should we then live?
Dr. Youngblood, I believe that one of the great needs of our country is revival. That happened in the time of King Asa. A man of God met him after he'd had a military victory and talked with him about having spiritual victory. And one of the things he says to him was, as he met Asa, the Lord is with you while you be with him, and if you seek him, he'll be found of you, but if you forsake him, he'll forsake you. He said also, now, for a long season, Israel has been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. And when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And these words describe a time of apostasy. Apostasy is a time of turning away from God and his work and his truth. We're seeing that in our country now.
Yes. In fact, Dr. Phelps, you touched on a word there, the word seek. Tell us what that word seek means and why it should be significant in the understanding of our listeners today. Why should we understand the word seek? Because there are a lot of teachings today, philosophical rhetoric today, that we do not have to seek God. We do not have to find God. We do not have to do anything in relationship to spiritual things. It just happens. But that's not the way it is it, Dr. Fell?
No. In both the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we find that the word seek is important in our relationship to the Lord. Seek is one of the words in the family of faith that explains the behavior of people who do right in the eyes of the Lord. For example, the scripture tells us in 2 Chronicles 12 something about an evil king. After Solomon, there was Rehoboam. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 12, 14, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. So we believe that the word seek is important in our relationship to the Lord. According to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we learn there's a connection between believing God and seeking God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we believe that it's important to us even today. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. He used the word seek there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. So we're in this part of the Bible that I have read, part of this chapter. We are told that those who did right before the Lord would seek the Lord. Others who would not seek the Lord did evil. It simply works that way.
Dr. Phelps, I'm glancing at an article here. It's out of the newspaper, one of the newspapers from Bristol, Virginia. The title of the article says, Coming to Christ. Bristol Revival brought old-time religion to thousands. Dateline Bristol, Virginia. I'm reading some excerpts, ladies and gentlemen, from a newspaper article. In fact, it's a full page dealing with revival. Back in the 1700s, 1800s, they called it Great Awakening. It is the coming to Christ. And this article says, they came as if they needed to come, men, women, and children, from down the road, from out of state, all flocked to Bristol to find a seat in, and in many cases, outside the gigantic tent. In fact, as I understand the article, the tent would seat about 3,000 people. And for weeks, they'd scheduled for a couple of weeks. It went into, I believe, 6 or 8 weeks because people were getting right with God. They were being revived. They were saying yes to Christ. The scripture says people were generally coming to Christ. Dr. Phelps, that indicates your word seek, where they came seeking and they found. This article further says it was old-fashioned preaching, old-fashioned singing, and old-time religion. Said the reporter on this article. Ladies and gentlemen, I picked up on those terms, old-fashioned preaching, old-fashioned singing, and old-time religion. There's something about the old-time religion that simply refers back to old time, if you please, Bible times. What does the scripture say? What is preaching about? What is Christianity about? And the old-time religion, ladies and gentlemen, is nothing more than the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God proclaimed verse by verse so that people can be convicted of sin, seek Christ, and say yes to him. This article says, and I like this, there was praying and shouting and singing. Glory, hallelujah, gathered from the hearts. Many raced through their throats and sprang from their tongues and ratcheted ever upward toward God to be heard by the Lord. 70,000 people watched it through video streaming. And the article goes on to talk about the pastor and those involved. This article has a picture of people on their faces praying in the big tent. It says, young and old, hundreds of people sought the altar and asked to be saved during the Bristol Revival. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we need in America today. That's America's greatest need. I'm thankful that God put Donald J. Trump in the presidency. I'm thankful for some of the things we're seeing with the reversal of the moral degradation and the trends away from God. But ladies and gentlemen, we can't put our hope and trust and faith in a political leader. That hope and trust and faith must be placed in Christ and Christ alone. There must be a turning back to God, a seeking God, and there must be revival in America. I believe that's the greatest need. Dr. Phelps, what do you say to that statement? How do we respond to that so that our listeners might be encouraged to pray for and seek revival in our nation today?
Yes, sir. There is a great benefit from revival. The benefits of real revival are truly marvelous. Even in the time of apostasy, there was revival in Old Testament times, and there is revival that's possible today. The question is, what is a revival? We have a biblical account of revival in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. When Asa, the king, heard the words of the man of God, then the Bible tells us that he was encouraged. He was encouraged to take away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, out of the cities that were in the northern part of the kingdom. And he renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord, and gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers of those who were there, who had traveled and had come to join with Asa out of Israel. And they began to serve the Lord. So they gathered themselves together in Jerusalem, and they had a time of revival. The reproof of scriptures is the way that revival really begins. You read a passage in the Old Testament earlier there about their finding the Bible in the house of God. So Christians need to find the Word of God and spend some time in God's Word. Christians, we need to pray that God will raise up evangelists in our country to call America back to God. A real revival is the supernatural moving of the Spirit of God among the people of God to prepare their hearts to seek the Lord. And so they not only had the reproof of scriptures from the man of God, but they actually received the scriptures. According to this chapter, Asa, when he heard the words of the man of God, then he received them. So the king heard the word of God. He heeded the word of God, and he honored it. We need the preaching of the word of God in America, especially from the pulpit. Our elected officials need to hear the word of God and heed it and honor it. Oh, that we might have Christian patriots serving in office in Washington and in our state house and in Jacksonville. The next thing we see was the repenting on the part of Asa and the people of God. The king put away idolatry. Repent means that people have a change of mind that affects our behavior toward God and believing in Christ. One good example of repentance is found in Paul's letter to the people at Thessalonica, where he had done some preaching. He praised them that they had turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. So the alternative to idolatry is repentance. What had happened in Old Testament times and in the time of Paul and in our time is that people are turning away from God in idolatry, and that needs to be repented of. Repentance is the alternative. It's the only alternative.
Yes. In fact, when we think about that alternative, Dr. Phelps, I'm prone to think about the fact that so often in our pulpits today, there's anemic preaching, and in some cases, no biblical preaching at all, simply addressing some moral issue and not biblical preaching. This is the reason I've said there's a need for the Great Awakening in America. In fact, I have in my hands an article says the Great Awakening, definition in summary, and it, the article starts out like this. Many of the early Puritans and pilgrims arrived in America with a fervent faith, and a vision for establishing a godly nation. Within a century, the fervor had cooled, however. The children of the original immigrants were more concerned with, listen, increasing their own wealth, increasing their comfortability in living, more so than furthering the kingdom of God. And I believe this is the problem that we find in America today. In fact, as you study the Great Awakenings and you understand what was taking place, it was harvest time, as some of the preachers called it then. And as you study the history of the Great Awakening in America, ladies and gentlemen, there are about five different revival periods, but the major ones were found in the 1730s and the 1740s. And it was during that era, it was during that period of time, that we had many mission programs started. We had many outreach programs started, missionaries and evangelists going around the world. There's a major factor, ladies and gentlemen, that perhaps you've not heard, but Princeton University, Rutgers University, Brown University, Dartmouth University, which were Christian universities then, were all started as a direct result of the Great Awakening. And these universities were founded, ladies and gentlemen, not necessarily for academics, though they did have academics, but they were formed and originated out of the Great Awakening, the great time of a revival. So that preachers could be trained in the handling of the Word of God to stand in the pulpit rightly dividing the Word of truth. So, Dr. Phelps, there is a major need for us to recognize that we are in the days of apostasy. There is the falling away. There is a need to repent. There is the need to recognize that revival is needed. And the Great Awakening of yesteryear, I believe, is apropos for societal needs today. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're talking with Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is a theological professor, Bible professor at Conservative Theological University. He preaches Bible and teaches Bible and doctrine in our university. And ladies and gentlemen, I would urge you and encourage you to think about what we could do in relationship to training you if you're a Bible teacher, preacher, missionary, evangelist, or if you're just simply a man of God that wants to study the Word of God and learn how to handle it, you could call 1-800-GO-BIBLE, 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Be delighted to talk with you about your theological training. Dr. Phelps, I believe we need an awakening in America. America's great awakenings of the 1730s and 1740s changed America spiritually, politically, and academically. It was out of the great awakenings that we found revival. And right now, there's a need for revival. Dr. Phelps, what is the answer? How should we then live? What should we do in relationship to what we know about the need for revival, what we know about the Scripture, and the condition of our nation today?
One of the things that I find in the text that I had mentioned in 2 Chronicles chapter 15 is that not only did they have the reproving from the Scriptures, that is, the hearing of the Scriptures and receiving of the Scriptures, but there was repenting of their sin. And then something else that took place here, there was a renewing to service. They began to take interest in the house of God. Listen to 2 Chronicles 15, verse 8. The last part of that verse says, they renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch. This is a part of the old temple in Solomon's time. They began to take interest in the house of God. And likewise, we need a return to the house of God today. 2 Timothy 3:15, 1 Timothy 3:15 rather, tells us that the church is the place where you should find the truth preached. The local church is the designated place of hearing the Word of God, of hearing from God, and of worship in truth. It's not the church of the air. It's not the electronic church. We need a rallying of the saints to assemble, gather. They gathered in verse number 9, that they gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers and the remnant of them throughout all the land. There was a rallying of the saints. I'm reminded that in the military, there was a command that you would hear sometimes very early in the morning, fall in. And that meant to assemble for duty. Line up with your fellow soldiers and be ready to act in obedience to the commander To neglect to fall in is to be insubordinate. We need to be present in the time of worship.
Yes.
Church is the assembly of the people of God.
Yes, it is.
And so they not only repented of their sin, they renewed their service, but they were rallying around the Lord. And then they had a time of rejoicing. They had a victory celebration. It was a great day in their land. And I tell you, it'll be a great day in our land when people stop enduring religion and start enjoying the Redeemer.
Absolutely. In fact, Dr. Phelps, I find it fascinating. I am looking at 2 Kings, the 22nd chapter, and the scripture says Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And the scripture says in verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of David his father, didn't turn to the left, didn't turn to the right. It means he stayed right ahead. But the thing that intrigues me, Dr. Phelps, with this text, and we're talking about revival and finding the book, going back to the original, and that's the Word of God, not some philosophical rhetoric or ideological dogma from some denomination. But it says here, and Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And the scripture says then that he took the book of the law to the king, and he read it. And the scripture says, and it came to pass that when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the scripture goes further, Dr. Phelps, and it says, he, as he reads it, he's convicted, and he brings it about, and the king stood before the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord and walked after the Lord and keeping his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes and all of their hearts and their souls to perform the words of the covenant that were written in the book, and all the people stood with the covenant. It started, Dr. Phelps, and I'm fascinated by that. They found the book, the Bible, in the temple. The temple was so unused and so unkept that the Bible was hidden. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's the condition of America today. In most of our churches, the Bible, the book of the law, the Word of God, is a hidden book from the majority of the people. But ladies and gentlemen, revival took place in the land in that day when the book was found, when the book was discovered, when it was read aloud, when it was read to the king, when the king then was convicted. The king brought about a challenge to the people. There was a covenant made, and then all of the groves were torn down. That's the cult places, the Antichrist cult places of meeting. As that was done, it brought about further revival. And I find it fascinating, Dr. Phelps, one of the things that it says in here in this text, in the 7th verse of the 23rd chapter, and he break down the houses of the Sodomites that were in the house of the Lord, where the women have hangings for the groves. And it was talking about the prostitutes that were taking place. And one of the first things that happened, ladies and gentlemen, in revival in the Old Testament, when the book, the Bible was found, when the book, the Bible was read, when the book, the Bible was preached, when the king was convicted, the people were then convicted. And the first thing they did was tear down the false worship and destroy the Sodomites in the land. Now, I know that's a mouthful, but Dr. Phelps, I believe that's one of the major problems in America today in our churches that's holding back revival, is the embracing of the Sodomite lifestyle, the denigration of the Word of God, the depreciation of the power of the Word of God, and the disrespect for the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, where voodoo theology is prominent today. Dr. Phelps, we've got about a minute left. Share with our listeners today a wrap-up thought on what we need to do. What could we challenge our listeners to do to bring about revival in our hearts individually, personally, then in our churches, and across our land?
One of the things I noticed in the text that I had mentioned is that as a conclusion to this revival that took place, that they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart, with all their soul, and so that they began to rely upon the Lord. The evil alternative to seeking the Lord is the forsaking of the Lord. Let's reverse that. Let's turn to God. Let there be a turning to God from our idols and from our evil ways.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening today and you're lost, then I challenge you, encourage you, plead with you, get saved. If you're saved and you're not actively involved, be revived. Turn back to God. Say yes to Him. Be involved in your church. If you're not involved, We'd love to have you at First Conservative Baptist Church. Looking forward to meeting you again tomorrow on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.